Good morning. Lovely to see each of you here today. My message this morning is entitled, You Shall Love. In today's scripture reading, having just heard Jesus stump the Sadducees, the holier-than-thou Pharisees, they gather together to try to intellectually trap Jesus. That is to say, they hope to discredit him by asking him a hopelessly difficult question that he, let alone anyone else, will be able to answer. So they send over the lawyer amongst them, who better to ask a leading question? They send over the lawyer to ask the question. Now, before we get to this question, let's understand a little bit better about how difficult the question was. They're about to ask him about the commandments from the Jewish holy text. There are 613 commandments, 365 shall nots, which were equal to the number of days in a year, and 268 shalls, which is equal to the number of bones that they believed were in the human body at the time. So for them, this was a sign that commandments should consume every moment and every movement. So really, really important stuff here. 613 different commands containing instructions from the mundane, like don't eat grape seeds, to the super important, like don't kill, to the absolutely absurd, like don't eat non-kosher maggots. So, really. So with all of its complexity and importance, the lawyer for the Pharisees asked Jesus to tell them which of all of these commandments was the greatest. So he's trapped, or so they think. You see, it's a bit like the political games we see on television today. No matter what you say, the other side will demonize you for it. In this case, the Pharisees see it as a literal case of damned if you do, damned if you don't. They knew that the greatest rabbis had debated over this question many times and had never arrived at a common conclusion. So no matter what his answer is, they can say that he's wrong. So they've got him, or at least they think so. Now, Jesus would have also been very much aware of the fact that there was no real agreement on what the greatest commandment was. So, it wouldn't have been all that surprising to see him sidestep giving an answer, and like so many times before, answer them with a question, as Jesus was very likely to do in many cases. But, in this case, he doesn't. Considering that, as I said, there were how many commandments? 613. He quite surprisingly and quite remarkably quotes a very specific scripture in his answer. Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Now, the interesting thing is not just that Jesus specifically answers them, which he would have probably been enough. There are actually two even more interesting things that are going on here. The first is that Jesus, the rabbi, the teacher, misquotes the scripture. And then the second is that he equates another scripture to it, saying that it's just as important. Let's start with the misquote. Deuteronomy 6:5, as I just read, reads, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Heart, soul, might. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your mind. Heart, soul, mind. Scripture says might. Jesus says mind. It would be easy, to assume that Jesus made the change to emphasize the importance of thoughtfulness, mindfulness over physicality. truthfully, it would be hard to say precisely why Jesus made the change, but it does serve as a very helpful reminder for us today. Love, as I've talked about many times before, is difficult. It's a difficult and very complicated word. In Jesus' time, they had 7 to 9 different words to describe different kinds of love. And we have one, as if to say that the love I have for ice cream and my kids and my wife are somehow all the same. They certainly are not. Yet, we have one word. Now, as I said, Jesus had 7 or more words to choose from, and the word that he chooses is agape. Now, this isn't the word that we most frequently think of. When we fall in love, we think of it as this wonderful, overwhelming, uncontrollable thing. That's not what Jesus is talking about. They had a word for that kind of love, and he very specifically did not use it. He used agape. That is an intentional kind of love. It's a loving kindness. It's related to the hospitality that was so important, not only in their scriptures, but in their society as well. It isn't a physical, emotional response. In fact, it is frequently in spite of a lack of either. So, Jesus' change in the wording is a nice little reminder for us. This kind of love isn't about a gushing feeling, a physical embodiment. We just aren't. It's not about that kind of feeling for people. Let's face it, we'd never be able to actually have that kind of gushing emotional, physical response to everyone. We just sort of aren't built that way as a people. This is about making a mindful choice to show kindness. Which brings me to the second interesting thing. Jesus, while asked to name the one commandment to rule them all, decides that it might be nice to have 2 commandments. So, he quotes Leviticus 19:18. Love your neighbor as yourself. But not only that, he equates it to the first commandment. Or our translation has Jesus saying that the second commandment is, quote, like the first commandment. But you know what? That is entirely too meekly put compared to what Jesus really said. What he really said was homoios. The Greek word homoios is related to our word homogeneous, meaning essentially alike. Not sort of the same in the way that like in this case can imply. They are homoios, essentially alike. So, Jesus' answer to what is the most important thing for us to do according to God is to show love to God and to show everyone else love as well. And not just if you like them. You are to show them a loving kindness no matter what. Doing it for others, even your enemy, is just as important as doing it for God. They are practically, he says, one in the same. They are homoios, essentially alike. It is as if you aren't doing it for everyone, you aren't doing it for God. And lastly, it's not an option. This is not a choice. He gives it as a command. That's the most important command. Now, as Julie can tell you, we Presbyterians have lots and lots and lots of rules. And it is very Presbyterian to be very familiar with them and follow them very closely. One of the interesting things about our rules, which is called the Book of Order, is the way we use words in it. When the Book of Order talks about things to be done, it says either that they may be done, they should be done, it is appropriate that they be done, or they shall be done. The first 3 in the list, may, should, and is appropriate, well, they're really not much more than recommendations. Shall, on the other hand, means do it. No options. And that's what Jesus tells us here about loving God and loving everyone. Do it. No options. Not you may love, or you should love, or it is appropriate that you love. Jesus basically is saying you shall love. That's pretty darn, pretty darn to the point. Sorry, losing my words here. Basically, he's saying do it. No options. Now, while most of us like to think, we like to think that we are repetitively loving people, we certainly also recognize that we aren't always. But we like to believe that we always try to be, right? I mean, we do, sure. Now, remember that part, that we like to believe that we always try to, that we believe we try to be. It's going to be important. So, let's take a look at ourselves and our belief that we are mostly loving people, and let's take one of our favorite understandings of love to do it. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, let's do a little exercise. I am going to ask you, as I read that again, to replace the words love or it in your head with your own name. Replace the words love or it with your own name. So for me, it would read Mark is patient, Mark is kind, Mark is not envious. I'll read it again and let you begin the replacement with your own name as I say love or it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, if you are even the littlest bit self-reflective, as you were doing that in your head, you realize that it ain't all true. You aren't always patient with people, let alone with God. You aren't always not boastful or rude. You are not the loving people that Jesus tells us that we shall be. So what do? Well, we just did part of it. We become aware of what we are supposed to be, loving to all people at all times. We recognize that we are not always that, and then we try to more consistently actually do it. Remember when I said we like to believe that we're always trying to be loving? Well, hopefully that little exercise we just did showed us that we all don't always actually try. Sometimes we are maybe the littlest bit intentionally less than kind. Sometimes we feel good being just the littlest bit boastful. And sometimes we do each insist on our own way. In today's scripture, one of the things that Jesus is telling us is that the most important thing we can do is be mindful about trying to be loving. It's a constant and thoughtful pursuit. We don't get to dismiss it because we don't emotionally feel love towards that person. This isn't that kind of love. This is about intentionally showing loving kindness towards others, even when we don't feel emotionally kind towards them. This is about being patient, being kind, not boastful or irritable, even when we don't feel like it. And Jesus is also telling us that every time we don't manage to do it, whether it's a person who cuts us off in traffic, the person who just stole something from us, or the person posting on Facebook about the wrong politician, every time we manage to not do it, we've hurt our relationship with God just a little bit. We've put up a bit of a barrier because these two commandments aren't just like each other. They are essentially alike. And when we've done it unto our neighbor, so too have we done it unto God. Or as Dorothea Day put it, I really only love God as much as I love the person I love the least. The good news.
Say that again.
Dorothea Day says, I really only love God as much as the person I love the least, based on this commandment. The good news. The good news is that God does not expect us to actually be able to love everyone all the time, but God does expect us to try. It's also good news to know that it doesn't mean we have to love them like we love our kids or our significant other or even like ice cream. We do, however, have to consistently attempt to extend loving kindness to everyone in every moment and in every movement. And the best news is that every time we do manage to do it, we grow a little closer to God.